I want to start off by saying that Pastor Joel has, when he came, we saw it very quickly, even in the interview process now over a year ago, a passion for the lost, a passion to spreading God's kingdom. And that has been just one of the joys of mine for us to, in a sense, partner with that and be inspired by him. And so I want to just say, let's take the words, the last words of Jesus when his feet were still standing on the ground and before he went up to ascension into heaven, ascended into heaven. Let's take his words seriously. And I'm going to read over Matthew 28 and break it down in three parts. This is called Christ's Great Commission to his church, to his church family. And it's called that because he is telling his disciples and his followers, I'm sending you, I'm commissioning you out. And I'm going to read the first couple verses, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came, spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ahead and go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we're seeing two things happen right there. He's saying, go, therefore, and make disciples. And he's saying, make them where they don't know me. Nobody knew Jesus. And no one had Jesus in their heart because they had repented yet, right? So he said, go make disciples of these people who don't know me. And go into all the nations. And I want us to say that word nations because, yes, it's here locally, but I believe God is going to be calling more and more people into nations from this church, that we're going to be a part of God's world's harvest. Living Waters is not going to be left out. God's going to include us in that. But it's a going. He didn't say sit and pray and wait for them to come to you. It's like the Lord said, and I'm looking for those who might be down today in the store. How can I plant a seed of God's love and truth in them? I'm going in this direction. And then that second piece is, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Bible, it doesn't say that it's the pastor's job or the church's responsibility to baptize people. It is all of our responsibility. That's why when sometimes children are baptized, parents or grandparents, or it could be someone who led someone to the Lord or discipled them, they do the water baptism. We bless it. We're part of it. But the pastor is not like required to do all water baptisms. So that's something. In fact, wouldn't that be cool? Envision yourself right now that in 2025, 2026, you just might be a part of baptizing somebody because they're new believers in Christ. This is a part of the Great Commission. And then the next verse says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So yes, let's rejoice with someone dedicates their life to Christ and repents. Let's rejoice when they get water baptized. But the work isn't over yet. The process of discipleship is that we teach them, you and I, one-on-one in small groups, in larger settings. Jesus did it all, right? He did one-on-one. He had a small group of three. He had a small group of 12. He had a teaching of thousands. So whatever form God is sending you in, he's got you teaching others. That is this Great Commission. You're sent out. And I want to say, I actually want to challenge us. These are his last words. And it's actually a command. Maybe this should be called the Great Command. It's really not an option to leave to those, oh, like Joe Miller and Vernon Magnus that really go. And no, this is a command. And so maybe we should call it his last command on earth, or his first command to us, something like that. We need to remember these are clear words from Christ. Joel, let me pray for you and let you get going here. Well, Lord Jesus, it's my privilege to have this partner, this comrade in the fight of spreading God's kingdom through Living Waters Church family with Pastor Joel. Lord, you have set him here, and Lord, you're going to use him today. It's by your Holy Spirit. We know that, Lord, you can only bear fruit in our heart if when you anoint something, when you anoint it in our ears. So we ask, Lord, that our ears and heart will be open to you and what you are commanding us today, what you are instructing, how you're guiding us and directing us today. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. I'll get the table. You've got a lot there. You got it? Okay. Well, I just wanted to start off. I just felt like we needed to spend a little bit more time in prayer. So I just want you to join me for a moment. If you feel like kneeling before the Lord, however you want to pray, Father, as we were worshiping, Father, I just was reminded that you have been reminding me of your word that says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Father, I ask you to forgive me where I have just out of habit, out of Christian routine, I've called you Lord, and I didn't do what you told me to do. How often, Father, do we call you Lord just out of habit, out of the day-to-day routine, and we don't do what you tell us to do? Your word says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. You are Lord of the harvest. Jesus, you said you are Lord of the harvest. Father, we want you to be Lord of this church, Lord of our lives. We love calling you Savior. We love calling you Redeemer. We love calling you Healer. But I pray, Father, that it's our hearts that we make you Lord. I heard somebody once say, God, that we're told to carry our cross. And we sometimes will carry our cross, but nobody wants to get on the cross. When we get on that cross, we die to ourselves. We die to our flesh. We die to our selfishness. We die to our goals, our dreams. And we do what you tell us to do because you are Lord. Father, I pray that you open every heart this morning, mine included, as I share this, to what you want to speak to us specifically, individually, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this message is called New Seasons, New Wine, and New Wineskins. This is a little bit different than what I had in the email, which was just New Wine and New Wineskins. But I really believe that we're in a new season at Living Waters. And, new seasons are inevitable. Whether you're an individual, whether you're a church, whether you're a business, you're going to go through new seasons in life, right? If you're, you go through that season of childhood, you don't have a care in the world, everything's taken care of for you. Then you become an adult and you're out in the real world and you're in a new season of life and you've got responsibilities and bills and things like that. And then you might get married and now you're in a new season of marriage and trying to navigate that. And then parenthood and so on. If you're a business, you may start small and it's a difficult, lean season, as you're getting the things rolling. And then you grow. You're in a new season of busyness and hiring employees and maybe eventually merging with another company or selling the business. If you're a church, You may be in a season where, you know, like Living Waters, we started a Christian school. We were in a season where we started a Christian school. We had that vision, and that was for a season. And then the school became their own entity and moved out of our church building and became their own entity as Cornerstone Christian Academy. So seasons are inevitable. Seasons are, you cannot avoid changes in seasons. And so I want to encourage you this morning to allow the your heart to have fertile soil to receive what God wants to speak to you this morning, that you would have a soft heart to receive what he wants to speak this morning. Probably one of the best scriptures as far as changing in seasons is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So seasons are inevitable. There is a time and a season for everything in life. This is going to be our main passage this morning is going to be from Luke chapter 5, and it's, Jesus is talking about new wine and new wine skins. And there are several things that I want to point out and just break down in this passage. So we're going to jump right in here and read this. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires the new, for he says the old is better. So, what does this mean for Living Waters? What is the new wine? What is the new wineskin? What does all this mean for Living Waters Church? So let's break this down. What is the new wine? The new wine represents new individuals and families that God is bringing us, especially through the Great Commission, outreaches, and going out and compelling them to come in, as Jesus said. They are the ones for whom we are responsible to see that they are growing spiritually and being discipled. So our commission, I like the word mandate, that we are mandated by the Lord to go out, reach the lost, tell people about Christ, and then the ones that he brings us, the ones that are coming in, they are our responsibility to disciple them, to love them, to encourage them, to support them, to uphold them. The new wineskins that hold that new wine, those people, represent the systems, structures, and people that we organize and put in place to reach and disciple the people, the new wine that God is bringing us. So we have the new wine that God's bringing us, new people, okay? And then we have the new wineskins, which are the individuals and the systems and the structures that we have in place to support them, to hold them up, to preserve them, if that makes sense, to protect them. Like a wineskin protects the wine, okay? We're not spilling out. We don't have any leaks. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We want to look at everything that we have in place. Say, do we have any leaks at Living Waters? And so we're going to be looking at that in a little bit. More specifically, as far as the new wineskins, structures, and systems, our new wineskins are outreaches, growth track classes, discipleship Bible studies, mentoring friendships, rooted youth group, River Kids, giving platforms, which would be like, you know, providing opportunities like Pastor Stephen shared to give you an opportunity to give. And we set up our website accordingly. And small groups that enable our people, new and established, to grow. So this isn't for, you know, just new believers or young seekers. It's for really all of us. Okay? So how would this look visually? So I looked up kind of a modern-looking wineskin. They actually still make wineskins. But our wineskin would consist of children's ministry, discipleship and mentoring, funding of outreach and evangelism, youth ministry, doing outreach and evangelism, growth track, and dream teams. Now, I just want to share this. There is no excuse for just funding outreach and evangelism and not actually getting in there and do it. It's a hard word, but none of us should ever say, you know what, that's not my thing, but I'll give to it. But don't ask me to go out and talk to people, you know, about Jesus. And, you know, it kind of takes me out of my comfort zone. Is he Lord of our lives or is he not? Is he Lord of our lives or is he not? If we're not willing to do the Great Commission and go out and share Jesus with people, then don't call him Lord. Call him Father, call him God, call him Yahweh, but don't call him Lord if you're not willing to go out and share the gospel with people. Now, everybody is in a different stage in life. I understand that. Some of you need to focus on growing and you know, maturing in your walk with the Lord. But I believe that word I just shared, you know who you are, that whether you really need to step out in that or not. Okay? So with these systems in place, we have to ask ourselves, do we have any leaks at Living Waters Church? Do you like the Photoshop work? So do we have any leaks in children's ministry? So let's say that God is bringing us people. We're going out doing outreach. We're telling people about Jesus. We're connecting with families. And God is bringing us families, and we've got 10 kids on a Sunday morning, but we hardly have anybody that's able to serve on Sunday morning. And let's say that we don't have enough volunteers really to handle that many kids. We weren't expecting that many kids. And then the kids, you know, are talking to the parents. They're like, how was children's church? Oh, it was chaotic. They didn't have enough help in there. And it was, I don't know if I want to go back there, Mom. It was, you know, everybody was, you know, loud or whatever. That's not the case, but I'm just saying, do we have enough people helping in children's ministry where we can accommodate new families and handle an influx of kids? Or is that going to be a leak one day if we don't have people stepping up? And that's a big need, folks, you know, having a good children's ministry if we're going to reach young families. Discipleship and mentoring. Do we have individuals in the church who are seasoned believers, mature believers, stepping up and willing to walk younger believers and new seekers through life, through difficult circumstances, through marital problems, financial struggles, whatever they're dealing with? Do we have funding of outreach and evangelism? And you may think, you know what, you don't need money to go out and share the gospel with people. You just go out and talk to people. That's true. And I've done that before. But we are providing opportunities for families with their kids to come and have a great time through our Cloverbrook Farms outreach that we had at our house and our property, through Evelyn's outreach and Susan Whitehead's outreach in their neighborhood, and this fall festival that we're going to have. It's providing opportunities for families to come with their kids, and it's just such an amazing opportunity to talk to people and connect with people. Keith and I were able to share the gospel with a guy that came to our Cloverbrook Farms outreach. We had a great conversation with him. And Keith ended up following up with him and getting his number so that he could follow up with him. And it's that kind of thing. Yes, you can go out. You don't need a lot of money to go out and share the gospel with people. But if you're out in downtown and somebody's on their way to Fifth and Main Coffee Shop, or they're on their way to the Paddock or the McKinley's, you probably don't want to stop them because they're probably not going to give you the time of day because they want their coffee, they want their lunch or whatever, you know. Yeah, you could probably, you know, talk to some people, you know, just going out and talking to people. But the opportunities that we have to bring people to our property, like having a yard sale, for example, it's just a great way to connect. Youth ministry, I don't think we have any leaks there. We've got an amazing youth ministry team. We've got five individuals. Yeah, give them a hand. Gosh, we have Matt Russell helps and Lori Casey, Rita Jones, and Nathan and Jennifer Shepherd. They do an amazing job. Evangelism and outreach. Are we going out and talking to people about Christ? Growth track. If we don't have a good growth track and an opportunity to share with individuals who are new to Living Waters what we do, what we believe, what opportunities do we have, here's a spiritual gifts assessment for you and a personality test, and here's some ways that you can get plugged in Living Waters. If we have a leak there, and let's say we don't have a growth track, then people may come and they want to get involved, they want to get connected at Living Waters, but they don't really know a lot about the church, they don't really know where they can serve, and then they may be like, you know, I don't feel like I have any purpose here, I don't feel connected, and then they may move on. That's a leak, right? And then dream teams, those that make people feel welcome and loved, our greeters, our hospitality team that provides coffee and refreshments, and our doorkeepers that open the doors for you all, and they keep an eye. They do more than just open doors, folks. They keep an eye on you all and make sure that you're taken care of. If somebody has a bloody nose randomly, they're on it. They're going to be there with tissues, and they're going to help you, okay? And they lead, you know, new people to where they need to go, and, you know, if they need to know where's the bathroom, how do I get to the kids, you know, area, and that sort of thing. Our altar ministry team, if we have people coming and we're not providing an opportunity for them to be prayed for, and they don't feel like they're really being ministered to after a message, that could be a leak, okay? So we have to look at our systems, our structure, and our volunteer base and see, are we supporting the new wine? Are we a wineskin that's flexible enough and supporting the new wine, holding up the new wine, the new people that God is bringing us, okay? All right, let's talk about wine and wineskins and all that good stuff. Wine was used to celebrate special occasions. When God brings us people, new wine, we celebrate those people. We celebrate when God brings us people that we have the opportunity to love, to pour into, to encourage. And in Deuteronomy 16:13, it says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and your wine press." So wine was used as a point of celebration, and we celebrate the people that God brings to us, the new wine that he brings us, the new people. Wine was also used as a drink offering before the Lord. And so when we have new people coming into Living Waters, many of them are really offering themselves up. They're, you know, giving themselves as a drink offering. They're saying, you know what, I'm going to not do what I want on Sunday mornings. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to grow. I'm going to get closer to the Lord. And so we'd like to think that the new wine, the new people God is bringing us, that they see themselves as an offering to the Lord. They want to get to know him and offer themselves up as a living sacrifice before him. 1/4 of a hin of wine is a drink offering you shall prepare with the burnt offering or the sacrifice for each lamb. There's so many different scriptures that talk about wine. Sometimes it's the wine of God's wrath, and sometimes it's the wine of, you know, suffering and that kind of thing. But in the context of new wine and new wineskins, this is what we believe God is saying to Living Waters. New families like new wine are to be celebrated. The new families like a drink offering demonstrate a desire to give themselves to the Lord. So here's a visual illustration. If I spoke to you about coming up to the stage, would you please come on up to the stage? You all have no idea what you've gotten yourselves into. I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you are new to Living Waters, and you're pretty new to Living Waters, y'all are right where you need to be. So you're going to be in this area. Y'all can actually kind of curve around here. Yep. In front of the keyboard, and then you guys over here. This is really just a small...
Coordinated chaos.
Yeah. So this is just a small sampling of new families, young families that are seeking Jesus, that are going after the Lord, that God is bringing us. They represent the new wine, okay? These folks, give them a hand. So these folks are a small sampling of our church body that represent mature believers who have, they've lived a lot of life. They've been through a lot of struggles. Okay, let me just say, when I rehearsed this message, I was very intentional. I'm like, I'm not using the word old, and I'm not using the word age. Okay? They've lived a lot of life, and I'm trying, sorry.
I'll hit you with my cane.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, they are faithful. They've served Jesus well. They have walked with the Lord a long time. And these folks are going to represent the new wineskins, okay? They're going to represent the new wineskins that are going to uphold and support the new wine, the people that God is bringing us, okay? So we're just going to look at some things here and talk about how that can actually take place in practical terms. Properties and attributes of wine. Wine often symbolizes blood in Scripture. In the same way that blood has life in it, new wine is also alive, containing active cultures and bacteria. So, new wine has live cultures and bacteria that feed on carbohydrates in the mixture. And then, in that process, the fermentation begins and there's expansion. Okay? These folks are hungry. Like those cultures and bacteria, they're hungry. They want to consume God's Word. They want to consume everything they can about who Jesus is. And in that process, there's going to be growth, right? There's going to be expansion. And they're going to be putting pressure on the wineskin to make room and expand, to be flexible to accommodate them into their lives. Is that making sense? If these folks are the wineskin, there's going to be this pressure now. They're growing, they're expanding, they're wanting more of the Lord. And these folks here, they represent the new wineskin that needs to be flexible, and it needs to, they need to make room in their lives, in their schedule, for these folks, to mentor them, to encourage them, to lift them up, to support them, and that sort of thing, okay? Takes a very long time, years, for wine to mature, and the more mature the wine, the more valuable it becomes, okay? I want to share a couple of things here with, as far as the wine, I'm going to have to get over here and read this, because I can't. This is a screenshot I found online. When the hammer came down on the extraordinary sale of a bottle of 1869 Chateau Lafite, history was made. Estimated to reach 8,000, it sold, this is a bottle of wine, sold for $233,972. Crazy. The next one, this 1945 Domaine de la Romanée Conti Grand Cru, that's a long name, sold for over $550,000. There were only 600 bottles made after World War II, so it's extremely rare, extremely valuable. And I just want to brag on a couple that's up here, and I think it's very interesting that this rare wine has the name Conti in it, isn't it? This couple is rare. They are so valuable. They're so valuable. Gosh, I'm cracking. They're so valuable to Living Waters. And, you know, when we were in our 20s, back in 1997, my wife and I moved to Shelbyville, and we were 22. We were in this group right here. We were in this group, and the Contis, there I go cracking again. The Contis, I'm going to get a drink. Oh, gosh. So the Contis, they were that group to us. They were the wineskin. We were the wine. We were growing. We were maturing. We wanted to seek the Lord. We wanted more of Him, and they expanded. They opened their lives to us. They made room for us. So and this next slide shows the website. You see the green button, go to shop. You can go and buy a $265,867 bottle of wine if you want to. That's crazy. You just go out on a website and buy a $250,000 bottle of wine. I might do that after the service today. Celebrate. Okay, properties and attributes of wineskins. New wineskins were flexible and could handle the expansion of new wine during the fermentation process. So again, these folks, they're wanting to grow. They're wanting to mature. They're wanting to draw closer to the Lord. These folks and our systems as well, the people and the systems, need to be flexible and expand and to make room for those that are wanting to grow, the new wine that God wants to bring us. Wineskins are made from animal skin. The death of the animal is highly symbolic in regard to the creation of the wineskin. So that symbolizes, as new wineskins, they are dying to themselves. If they're making room for the new wine, the new people, and they're being flexible in their schedules, in their thinking, and they're dying to themselves, right? And when I say flexible in their thinking, it's getting out of their comfort zone and meeting new people and connecting with them. And I don't think any of them would have a problem with that. But, you know, but we will talk about that a little bit later as far as sometimes the tendency is for us to kind of stick to our own circle of friends, you know. And we'll talk about that later. If we teach, disciple, and love our young people well, the new wine that God is bringing us, they will be the lifeblood of Living Waters 20 years from now. They're going to be the dream team leaders. They're going to be the growth track teachers. They're going to be the Bible study leaders, men's Bible study leaders, women's Bible study leaders. They're going to be leading the youth. They're going to be leading the children. One of them might be one of the pastors here one day. Who knows? But if we love them and disciple them well, and we're being flexible as new wineskins, not just the people, but the systems that we have in place are flexible, and we're not just trying to be rigid and do things the way we've always done it, then we accommodate them, we uphold them, and protect them, and preserve them, and support them, and they're going to grow in their walk with the Lord, and they're going to be the next leaders of Living Waters. All right? So thank you guys for being up here. I appreciate your all's willingness to be a demonstration. So give them a hand. Thank you. All right. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Timothy 2:2. And it's a passage about discipleship. And I don't want, you know, this whole section was about really pouring into the people that God is bringing us. But I want you to think about, like, the Great Commission is still in front of us. Going out. That's part of the wineskin. The new wineskin is going out, compelling them to come in. Did you notice the three parts in that Great Commission? Number one, recognizing Jesus as Lord. All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. He's Lord. He also said in another passage, I am Lord of the harvest. Okay. Two, go out and make disciples of all nations. The going out part is the evangelism, the outreach. The making disciples is what we do on the inside. We have to go outside and compel them to come in. That's another thing Jesus said. Go out into the highways and byways, compel them to come in. And so there's the going out and making disciples. The discipleship process is what we do in here. And so this is the discipleship aspect. If we, that's the wrong slide. So this is Paul talking to Timothy, and I believe I've shared the scripture with you all before. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There are four parties involved here. There's Paul talking to Timothy, Timothy talking to faithful men, and faithful men passing that on to others also. It's a model of discipleship, and here's a visual of that. So my question to you is, particularly those who have been with Living Waters for many years, or whether you haven't, whether you're, you know, if you are a mature believer, who do you have that you're mentoring right now? Who are you mentoring right now? Who are you teaching and training and encouraging and walking them through life in the difficulties and struggles that they're experiencing? Who are you walking with in a mentoring relationship? Okay, so this passage, I want to go ahead and read this and then elaborate it. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. If the wine represents the people God is bringing us, then what does this mean? I'm just going to let there be some silence to think about it. If the wine is what God is bringing us, the people that we have or the people that, you know, are part of our body, what is Jesus saying here? No one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. If the new wine represents people that God is bringing to Living Waters, could it be that the old wine represents old friendships that have been there for years and that we have a hard time sometimes wanting to break off from our usual friends, our usual connections, and go and reach out to new families? Does that make sense? Sometimes we can say, you know what, the old's better. My old friendships, the friendships I have, you know, I don't know if I want to step out and make new connections, and I'm kind of uncomfortable meeting new people, and I don't really see myself as a mentor or Bible teacher or whatever. Just be in relationship with somebody that you don't know. Say, hey, I just felt like I needed to talk to you and meet you. Do you want to do coffee sometime and connect with somebody? Okay, back to properties and attributes of wineskins. Old wineskins can become weak and could crack easily when under the pressure of fermenting wine. So let's look at... come on. Did my battery die? There we go. All right, I think I went too far. Okay, I covered that one. Okay, old wineskins can represent old ways of thinking or old ways of doing ministry. All right, so let me share a little bit about the history of Living Waters. Many of you already know, you know, you lived it and were part of this. But in the 90s, there was just an outbreak of the Holy Spirit, and God poured himself out. And it was a time of renewal, a time of refreshing. People were hearing about Living Waters, and wow, there's more to Christianity and the Bible than I thought. And they were hearing about the spiritual gifts operating here. And people were coming from other denominations, you know, Baptist churches, Presbyterian, and they wanted to know more about this baptism of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. And it was this amazing time where God was growing our church. This was a new wineskin in the 90s. This is what God was doing. It was a God thing, okay? Don't get me wrong. It was a God thing, but it was for a season. God was bringing people just from everywhere, and we grew to 400-plus people. That was a new wineskin, and that was what God was doing. But if our mindset is, well, God's just going to bring people to us, we don't really have to do the Great Commission because God has brought people to us in the past and he'll do it again. That is an old wineskin thinking. Does that make sense? The new wineskin that we have now is, as far as the mindset of church growth, is that we've got to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. We've got to fulfill the Great Commission. And so new wineskins can become old wineskins over time. That was a new wineskin in the late 90s. Over time, it became an old wineskin, and we expected people to just come, right? And I want to share something that I think will prove that point. So revival hit Living Waters Church in the late 90s. Many believers transferred to us from other churches. It was time of renewal and personal growth. During this season of renewal, people were healed, set free of strongholds, and were growing in Christ. God was bringing people, no doubt. There was revival, God was moving, and he just brought people. However, our founding pastor, Joel League, often said, "The dry baptismal haunts me." How can we, as a church of 400-plus people, and he preached on evangelism. I heard him. We were here for 8 years. He was all about evangelism. But how can we, as a church of 400-plus people, not be baptizing people every week? That's a lot of people that can go out and fulfill the Great Commission, right? It's a lot of people. But that was something that he used to say, is the dry baptismal haunts me. And I don't believe it was because that wasn't his passion. I heard him preach on evangelism and, going out and sharing with the lost. But sometimes we can get so wrapped up. It was a season of renewal, and it was, I believe there was this, It was really focusing on growth in the body of Christ, and God's bringing us new people that are from other churches, and it was this like building of the army of Christ, the army of God, but the evangelism aspect, we could have done better. Our old wineskin is a mindset that says God will bring people in. He did it in the past. He'll do it again. The new wineskin way of thinking, in this season we're in now at Living Waters Church, should be going out and making disciples. That should be our kingdom growth model. Go out, make disciples. So I want to encourage you all, be people of evangelism. Be people of outreach. And have a love for your neighbor. I want to give you a picture here. If you look over at the cross behind the baptismal, you see the vertical part can symbolize our relationship with the Lord. Okay? The horizontal part could represent our relationship with other people. One of the two horizontal bars you could see as maybe representing our relationship with the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and getting along in Christ, and forgiving one another, and that kind of thing. What do you think I'm going to say the other part could represent? The lost. So that's just one way to look at the cross. I felt like the Lord showed me that a few months ago, and I thought about when to share that. But the vertical represents the relationship with the Lord. Horizontal, the relationship with others. That's something I did learn from other people. I've heard that many times. But as far as the two splitting off, you've got relating to your brothers and sisters in Christ, but also communicating with the lost. We do a great job, Living Waters, of loving one another and serving one another. We've got amazing teams of people. And I want to see us just grow and grow and grow in regard to evangelism and outreach. And I'm excited to see like how God is going to continue to use us. We had 20-plus people come to our Cloverbrook Farms outreach at our house. It was just amazing to see the army of people that came to do outreach. And so I believe we serve each other well, and I believe we're serving the lost well. We've demonstrated that. I think we could do even more and do even better. So I want to encourage you as we wrap it up. We have this yard sale coming up, and that's going to be September the 20th. All we're asking is that you come out, set up a chair, and wait for opportunities to talk to somebody. And if you want to sell items, you can come out and sell items and connect with people and talk to people. It's not about the yard sale. It's not about getting rid of stuff in your garage. It's not about money. It is an outreach. It's only a tool, okay? And if you want us, if you don't feel like you're physically able to really go through, you know, like haul stuff to the church, you know, we can have someone help you. You know, we'll go and load it up. I've got a truck. I can do that. And then our fall festival is a great opportunity to reach people as well. We don't want to just have people that are doing activities like monitoring the petting zoo and the pony rides and the face painting and the games and different things, you know, serving food and being so busy that we're not actually talking to people about the Lord. You're like, oh, you need more popcorn? Yeah, oh, they need more popcorn too. We need to pop more popcorn, you know. And we're so busy doing that that we're not talking to people. We want people who are not just serving as volunteers doing stuff, but floaters, okay? That's why we're doing these outreaches. That's why we're doing a yard sale, and that's why we're doing a fall festival, and that's why we have this Cloverbrook Farms outreach, and then the one in Evelyn's and Philip and Susan's neighborhood. That's why we're doing these. We want to be careful that we're not so busy doing stuff, though, that we don't have people floating and talking and praying for people. So, Father, we want you to be Lord of Living Waters Church. You are Lord of the harvest. You have given us a responsibility to reach the lost, to reach people for Christ, to bring people into our doors that we can encourage, lift up, those who are seeking Jesus, those who are pursuing Jesus, and those that don't yet know you. You are calling us, Father, to bring them in, to encourage them and uphold them and lift them up, to make disciples. Be Lord of Living Waters Church, Father. Have your way in Living Waters Church. God, we look forward to seeing what you are going to do in the coming days and weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
Message right out of the Word of God. Let's give Joel a big hand, could we please? My prayer for us is, Lord Jesus, purify.